This morning, I invite you to open up your Bibles with me to Job 36. Job chapter 36. Last week, we focused on the first part of Elihu's final speech, and now we'll focus on the final section of his speech, which is a hymn to God's sovereignty in all of creation, how he is in control of all things. He tells Job and the rest of us to stop and consider the wondrous works of God. Job 36, and we'll begin our reading with verse 26. But before we do so, let's ask God for his blessing. Please pray with me. Our Father in heaven, as we open up your word together, please give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we may know you better. We pray also that the eyes of our hearts may be enlightened in order that we may know the hope to which you have called us, the riches of your glorious inheritance in the saints, and your incomparably great power for us who believe. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Job 36, beginning with verse 26. Let's pay careful attention because this is God speaking his word to us. Behold, God is great, and we know him not. The number of his years is unsearchable, for he draws up the drops of water. They distill his mist in rain, which the skies pour down and drop on mankind abundantly. Can anyone understand the spreading of the clouds, the thundering of his pavilion? Behold, he scatters his lightning about him and covers the roots of the sea. For by these he judges peoples. He gives food in abundance. He covers his hands with the lightning and commands it to strike the mark. Its crashing declares his presence. The cattle also declare that he rises. At this also my heart trembles and leaps out of its place. Keep listening to the thunder of his voice and the rumbling that comes from his mouth. Under the whole heaven he lets it go and his lightning to the corners of the earth. After it his voice roars. He thunders with his majestic voice. And he does not restrain the lightnings when his voice is heard. God thunders wondrously with his voice. He does great things that we cannot comprehend. For to the snow, he says, fall on the earth. Likewise to the downpour, his mighty downpour. He seals up the hand of every man, that all men whom he made may know it. Then the beasts go into their lairs and remain in their dens. From its chamber comes the whirlwind. And cold from the scattering winds. By the breath of God, ice is given, and the broad waters are frozen fast. He loads the thick cloud with moisture. The clouds scatter his lightning. They turn around and around by his guidance to accomplish all that he commands them on the face of the habitable world, whether for correction or for his land, or for love, he causes it to happen. Hear this, O Job. Stop and consider the wondrous works of God. Do you know how God lays his command upon them and causes the lightning of his clouds to shine? Do you know the balancing of the clouds? The wondrous works of him who is perfect in knowledge. You whose garments are hot when the earth is still because of the south wind. Can you, like him, spread out the skies? Hard as a cast metal mirror? Teach us what we shall say to him. We cannot draw up our case because of darkness. Shall it be told him that I would speak? Did a man ever wish that he would be swallowed up? And now no one looks on the light. When it is bright, in the skies when the wind has passed and cleared them. Out of the north comes golden splendor. God is clothed with awesome majesty. The Almighty, we cannot find him. He is great in power, justice, and abundant righteousness he will not violate. Therefore, men fear him. He does not regard any who are wise in their own conceit. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our Lord remains forever. People of God, when you think about God, what comes to mind? When you think about God, what comes to mind? Because this morning, Elihu is drawing our attention to God's greatness by talking about the weather. Now, over the last few days, we've had the opportunity to experience what Elihu is describing here with the weather. Earlier in the week, we enjoyed the warmer temperatures. Thursday night, we got the rain. Friday morning was the wind, followed by snow and flurries, and then the cold temperatures yesterday and today. And in response to the weather, we say things like, well, if you don't like the weather, give it a few minutes and it'll change. Or we wonder about the crazy weather that we're having, or we ask, what's with this weather? But how often do we take the time to stop and think about how the weather is not only God at work and part of his wondrous works, but also think about how the weather is teaching us and telling us about God's greatness? How often do we stop and consider the wondrous works of God? In Romans 1, Paul tells us that what can be known about God has been made plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made. And so by taking the time to stop and considering the wondrous works of God that he shows us in creation, we will clearly see his eternal power and his divine nature. And then you can turn to Psalm 19, which adds to that when it says, the heavens declare the glory of God. Skies proclaim his handiwork. Day to day pours forth speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. And as we turn our attention here to this final, well, it's the final speech of Elihu's fourth speech, final section of his speech, what he's doing is he's drawing our attention to God's greatness by looking at the weather. And the point that Elihu is making for Job and for the rest of us is that God is in charge. That God is in control. That's the truth. God is in charge. He is governing the universe, ruling and reigning over the present and the future of every living person. And he's doing so for his glory and for our good. And what that truth means for Job and for the rest of us is that the same God who governs the storms of creation, the storms of nature, is the God who governs the storms of our lives as well. And that's why we trust him. That's why we turn to him, put our confidence in him. Because he's the one that causes all things to work together for our good. Behold, God is great. And we know him not, Elihu tells us first of all. He does great things we can't comprehend is our second point. And then third and finally, stop and consider the wondrous works of God. And so first, behold, God is great, and we know him not. This is chapter 36, verse 26. It's Elihu's final behold God. If you remember from last week, we looked at the first two behold gods in Elihu's final speech here. And now he's wrapping that up with his final behold God. Not only that God is great, he's telling us that not only is God is great, but we can't comprehend God. We can't wrap our minds around God. And Elihu is breaking into this hymn of praise to the God of creation. And each section of this hymn introduces a reference, or is introduced with a reference to God's incomprehensibility. Now, boys and girls, that's a big word. Incomprehensibility. We can't even wrap our minds and understand how great God is. And that's what Elihu is saying. That's what he's singing about. God's beyond our understanding, verse 26. Verse 29, who can understand how he spreads out the clouds? 37, verse 5, his voice thunders in marvelous ways. He does great things beyond our understanding. And everything that Elihu is saying here in this final speech is really paving the way, priming the pump for what God is going to say in the last few chapters of this book. Behold, God is great, and we know him not. The number of his years is unsearchable. He's beyond time, and we can't even understand that. He's outside of time. And then Elihu continues to draw our attention to God's greatness by talking about the water cycle, the process of evaporation and condensation and precipitation. It's beyond our understanding, he says. Can anyone understand the spreading of the clouds, the thundering of his pavilion? And even though we learn about it in school, how water evaporates and it turns into clouds and then it comes down in the form of rain or water, still, there's a lot that we don't understand. We try to predict the weather, and our predictions are not always, more often than not, wrong. Because we don't know it all. We don't understand it all. There's things that we can't wrap our minds around. Verse 27, for he draws up the drops of water. They distill in mist and rain, which the skies pour down and drop onto mankind abundantly. Can anyone understand the spreading of the clouds, the thundering of his pavilion? And then Elihu moves on from the quiet process of water evaporating and clouds forming and then rain falling. He moves from that to the violence of a lightning storm and a thunderstorm. Here we have dramatic lightning and thunder. We're giving a picture of God striking the earth, striking the sea with lightning that is so bright, verse 30, that it covers the roots of the sea. It lights up the very depths of the ocean. And so the most remote corners of creation and the most dangerous corners of creation are still under God's control. Can anyone understand the spreading of the clouds, the thundering of his pavilion? Behold, he scatters his lightning about him and covers the roots of the sea. God is great. We can't even begin to wrap our minds around how great God is. And understand why he does what he does with the clouds and the thunder and the lightning. And then we get to verse 31, chapter 36, verse 31. And Elihu gives us the reason for the thunder and the lightning. What is the reason for this thunderstorm? For by these he judges people. He gives food in abundance. So by these, the thunder and the lightning and the rain, God both judges people on the one hand, and he provides for people. He gives food in abundance on the other. And the point that Elihu is making here is that God is so amazing and beyond our understanding that through the same storm, He brings judgment and provision. That's part of the mystery of God's greatness, that he can use that same storm to provide and to judge. The same action of God, the same storm, brings judgment for some and it brings food for others. I want you to think about that truth in light of Noah and the flood. Noah and the flood. The same, you could say the same storm, the same flood waters were waters of judgment for those who didn't believe in God. And waters of provision, waters of deliverance for those who did believe. God's commanding the lightning here. He's commanding the lightning to strike its mark precisely, the end of verse 32 tells us. That's the providential power of God, pinpointing even lightning strikes. We have no idea where the lightning's going to strike. It seems chaotic and random to us. It strikes here, it strikes there, but God is pinpointing the exact location where that lightning is going to strike. It crashes, it declares his presence, verse 37, it makes my heart tremble, it leaps out of place. I jumped because I wasn't expecting it. But God had planned it. He was in control, is in control. And if that's true for the storms of nature, storms of creation, then it's also true for the storms of my life as well. Because the same God who is pinpointing precisely where lightning is going to strike is the God who's in control of the chaos or the seeming chaos of my life as well. And that's why we trust him. That's why we put our faith in him. The fact that I can't understand how God does it doesn't mean that we can then accuse God of being unfair or of incompetent when it comes to governing the world. We don't have the foggiest idea of what's going on here. We can't comprehend. God is incomprehensibility. The same event here brings judgment and it also provides food. Now, just to take that truth a little bit farther, there's something true that truth, especially when you think about that truth in the light of the cross. Same event, judging and providing. The same event, the same storm of God's wrath is judgment for Christ, but it's provision of salvation for us, his people. From the cross, you can jump forward to judgment day. It's God's condemning judgment for those who don't believe, and it's his provision of salvation for those who do. And Elihu is drawing our attention to God's greatness. He's drawing our attention to God's sovereignty, a greatness and a sovereignty that's ultimately expressed in Christ. Think about how God has accomplished your salvation. Sending his one and only son to obey in your place, to live a perfect life in your place, but not only that, to die in your place so that you could have eternal life. Now, if God is sovereign enough and great enough to orchestrate this plan of redemption throughout history, do you think that he's able to handle what you're going through right now? What comes to mind when you think about God? Because the same God who governs the storms of life is the God that we put our trust in, the God we believe in. Behold, God is great and we know him not, Elihu tells us first of all. And secondly, he goes on, he does great things that we cannot comprehend. That's our second point. He does great things that we can't comprehend. The Belgic Confession in Article 2 describes the world that God has created and the way that he keeps this world going. The Belgic describes it as a beautiful book that makes us think about God's power and his divinity. So when you look at creation, what it tells you, what it tells us is that God is powerful and that he is God. Now, Elihu is describing the weather, the thunderstorms, not in terms of being a beautiful book that tell us about God, but rather he's describing the thunderstorms and the weather here as if it is God's voice speaking. He describes it as God's voice. This is the way that God is speaking. Look at 37 verse 2. Keep listening. What are we listening to? The thunder of his voice and the rumbling that comes from his mouth. Jump down to verse 4. After it, his voice roars. He thunders with his majestic voice, and he does not restrain the lightning when his voice is heard. So Elihu is telling Job and the rest of us, listen to what God is telling you. Listen to his voice. Now, we don't often, when we think about a general revelation, the way that God, creation teaches us about God's power and his divinity, we don't often think about it in terms of God speaking to us with his voice, or that the lightning and the thunder is his voice, or that God is teaching us something from the storms of life. So what is he saying? What is he saying? Verse 5, God thunders wondrously with his voice. He does great things that we cannot comprehend. For the snow, he says, fall on the earth. Likewise to the downpour, his mighty downpour. He seals up the hand of every man that all men whom he made may know it. The beasts go to their lairs and remain in their dens. From his chamber comes the whirlwind. So now we're talking about a tornado, a whirlwind, the cloud, the cold from the scattered winds. So we've got the wind, we've got the cold. By the breath of God, verse 10, by the breath of God, ice is given and the broad waters are frozen. God breathes and the lake freezes over. He loads the thick clouds with moisture and the clouds scatter his lightning. And the point that Elihu is making here is that God is in control. There's a reason behind the events that seem random to us. He has a purpose, and verses 12 and 13 point that out. They turn around and around by his guidance. So now we're talking about the clouds that are turning around and around by God's guidance. So the picture that we're given is of a hurricane that's rotating, or of a tornado or a twister that's going around and around. And it's doing so by God's guidance. Why? To accomplish all that he commands them. So the tornado is doing exactly, just like the lightning, the tornado is doing exactly what God has commanded it to do on the face of the habitable world. Elihu is saying that all of this is happening by God's guidance, according to his will, according to his purpose. You can think about a tornado, a strong wind that blew Job's house down. Like, all of this is part of God's plan, part of his will. God is in control. There's a reason behind the events that seem out of control to us, and God is accomplishing his purpose. We get to verse 13, and Elihu once again explains why. What's the point of the storm? What's the reason behind this? Whether for correction, or for his land, or for love, he causes it to happen. He causes the storms to happen. So the wild things that are happening in life are under God's command. He is in control, and he is sovereign over it all. And he uses them for correction. That's talking about discipline, correcting us when we've gotten off track. He uses it for correction, or for his land, or for love. And so just like the storm back in chapter 36 that we looked at first of all, in verse 13, that, or 31, so 36 verse 31, just like the storm that brought, same storm, same event was both judgment and provision, here, this storm is both correction and for love. It's bringing correction to some. And it's a storm that at the same time is showing God's love, expressing his love. Same event, pointing to the greatness of God, pointing to the mystery and how we can't even wrap our minds around who God is and what he does. What comes to your mind when you think about God? Because the same God who governs the storms is the God who governs our lives, and that's why we trust him. Elihu goes on to point out his goal here is to get us to stop and consider the greatness of God. Stop and consider the wondrous works of God. To humble us with wonder, realizing that only God in all his power can be trusted to work out his purpose. And that brings us to the conclusion of Elihu's speech here. In our third and our final point, stop and consider the wondrous works of God. When you think about God, what comes to mind? Is he distant? Is he far removed from you? Is he unconcerned with the events of your life? Are you trying to just fly under the radar, make it through, and hope not to get noticed? Or is God close, comforting you with his grace and his love? And the reason it's so important to understand what we think about when we think of God, or how we think about God, is because A.W. Tozer once said, what comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. So the most important thing about you is who you believe God is. Everything about you is determined by your understanding of who God is. Your entire being flows from what you think of God. Kind of like the foundation of a house that supports everything else. Your knowledge of God is what upholds your life, and it gives it direction and purpose and strength. What you believe about God affects every area of your life, your attitude, your priorities, your choices, and even your future. And we see that in Job here. He started out as a man who feared God, but through the process of pain, we see that attitude being exposed. The attitude that Elihu is pointing out and addressing here. After speaking about God's greatness in general, Elihu focuses in on Job with some very personal and humbling questions. And each of these questions, if you have your Bible open, it's beginning of verse 15 there. Each of these questions highlight the limits of what we know. Because at times we're tempted to think that we have it all figured out. And like Job, we wonder, well, what is God doing? At times we're tempted to think that God is doing it wrong. That he is unfair. And the response to that way of thinking is basically, you think you have it figured out, but you don't. Hear this, O Job, stop and consider the wondrous works of God. Job, take a moment from your complaining and wanting to bring your case against God to just think about everything that God does. Not just when it comes to the weather, but think about what that means for us in terms of judging and providing, in terms of correcting and loving. How does God's sovereignty over all creation, over the weather, help us to understand his justice and his provision, his correction and his love? When we stop and consider the wondrous works of God, God's most wonderful work is summarized in the gospel. The good news of God's wondrous work in Christ. Thunderstorms and tornadoes are amazing, but even more amazing is the fact that your sins are completely forgiven in Christ. Because of God's sovereignty and power and greatness, we have forgiveness in Jesus. And ultimately, Elihu is trying to get Job to confess his sin, to turn back to the Lord with a humble faith that Job started with, that he had right at the beginning. Look at these questions, verse 15. Do you know how God lays his command upon them and causes the lightning of his clouds to shine? Do you know how he does this, Job? How he commands the lightning to light up the clouds. Do you know the balancing of the clouds and the wondrous works of him who is perfect in knowledge? Job, do you understand how God controls the weather, how God commands the clouds and the lightning, and how he does it? Because only God knows. He has the perfect knowledge. Verse 17, you whose garments are hot when the earth is still because of the south wind. So here's a southern wind coming out of the desert, making you hot. Can you, like him, spread out the skies? Hard as a cast metal iron. Here the idea is it's so oppressively hot that the sky is like a reflecting piece of metal just bearing down. Job, are you able to control the temperature? Is what Elihu is saying. Can you turn it up or turn it down? And the answer to these, each of these questions, is no. No, I can't. And if you don't know how to control the weather, Job, then why do you think you can take God to court? Verse 19, teach us what we shall say to him. We cannot draw up our case because of darkness. So we're in the dark here. We don't know what to, God is light. We're in the dark. We don't know what to say to him. Shall it be told him that I would speak? Because it's dangerous and presumptuous, Job, for you to think that you can drop a case against God. That you can send him a message. I want to speak to you about the decisions that you made. Because to do so would be like you wanting to be swallowed up alive. Did a man ever, end of 20, did a man ever wish that he would be swallowed up? Job, this isn't going to end well for you. It's much wiser to humble yourself before God's greatness and submit to his sovereignty. And that brings us to the conclusion of Elihu's speech. It's almost as if the clouds part at this time. The storm is over. Verse 21 says, when it is bright in the skies, when the wind has passed and cleared them, and then the picture that's painted for us is out of the north comes golden splendor. God is clothed with awesome majesty. The Almighty, we cannot find him. He is great in power, justice, and abundant righteousness. He will not violate. So God is great. He is just and he is good. And he has shown us this not only in creation, but we have an even clearer picture of God's power, his justice, and his abundant righteousness in Jesus Christ. And that's why we trust him, even when we don't have it all figured out. That's why men fear him, Job says. They have a reverent fear for the Lord, therefore men fear him. He does not regard any who are wise in their own conceit. Those who are wise in their own arrogance or in their own eyes, their own pride. Job is someone who feared God his entire life. Back in chapter 1, he's described as someone who's blameless and upright, one who fears God and turns away from evil. And that's exactly what Elihu is calling Job back to. That God-fearing wisdom that characterized his life. Job, turn away from the evil that's exposed itself in your heart and turn back to the Lord. And this is what we're being called back to as well. Maybe the pain in your life has revealed a sin that needs to be confessed. There are things you said in your pain that were arrogant, prideful even, conceited. You said and you thought things that you know are not right, and it's time to say you're sorry and turn back to the Lord. It's time to stop and take a moment to think about the greatness of God, to trust him, believe in him, and willingly submit to his sovereignty and his majesty. What comes to your mind when you think about God? Because the same God who governs the storms of nature is the one who saves us in Jesus Christ. And that's why we put our trust and our confidence in God. Amen. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we come before you thanking you and praising you for your greatness, for your sovereignty. We humbly come before you, submitting to your sovereignty and majesty, declaring our trust and our confidence in you, and asking that when the storms of our lives hit, that you will sustain us, that you will carry us through, that we will turn back and depend on the faith and the trust that is ours because of Christ. It's in his name that we pray. Amen.